of the gems of the city. So you've heard me do many stories about rail over the years, not all of them complimentary. But the reason we do those stories is not to say it's a bad thing, but to say we can fix it and we can get better. And a couple of years ago, my next guest was employed to do exactly that. He came from elsewhere. He actually came from Management in Emergency Services. His name is Nick Easy. He's the Chief Executive of Queensland Rail. Nick, thanks for coming along once again.
Good afternoon, Steve, and welcome to Central Station.
Again, I think we met a year ago, didn't we?
We did. And I think we talked about many things, so I'm very pleased to be back on the program.
The major change since that time is, in my mind, the restoration of the old timetable, 430 train services restored. What's that resulted in? What's changed since you've done that?
Well, I think, as you said, on the 29th of July, we restored 430 services on the network. That was in addition to 32 services that were provided in May. But what that's done is given more opportunities for travel to our customers and increased the service offering. And that's really what we set out to do. In 2016, we reduced the timetable. We've learned a lot from that. And July was really about restoring the services, providing a better service to our customers, more frequency, so we get more services in peak times, we get standardised services Monday to Friday, we get increased services on a Saturday and a Sunday. So that's 200,000 additional seats on the network per week for our customers, and we hope and we're sure that they're enjoying the benefit of that.
Every day, how many people are you moving around the city now?
Well, I'd like to start at a year first. So there's 55 million trips that occur on our network each year. We've seen an increase on the last financial year by over 4%, and what we have is about 190,000 boardings per day. So there's a lot of numbers and a lot of people travelling on our network.
Give me a snapshot of how it works, how QR moves people around the city across the day.
Well, we have 52 stations. We have a lot of people employed within Queensland Rail, so we have over 7,000 people that every day are working 7 days a week, pretty much 24 hours a day. That could be preparing trains, it could be cleaning trains, preparing rosters, allocating resources, getting our crews ready, our station staff. You'll see many of them here at Central Station here today, and they're always there to help our customers. So there is a lot of planning, there is a lot of logistics and resource allocation to make sure we get the trains ready, we get the services ready, and we have the infrastructure to support them.
Busiest line?
Well, the busiest station is Central Station.
Okay.
So there's about 11 million boardings through Central Station each year. That's followed by Fortitude Valley and Roma Street, which also have about 3 million boardings. So they're our three bigger stations in terms of boardings.
Will that change when Cross River Rail opens up?
Cross River Rail is a really important project for the state. It does a number of things. We have only one crossing across the river today, so that's the Merivale Bridge. We'll get a second crossing out of Cross River Rail.
I heard this morning that it might mean that the major station, the major rail station, is actually one of the Cross River Rail ones, that, or a different position. Is that misleading?
I think we'll see Roma Street grow in terms of its prominence and its profile. So Central Station will always be a big station. I think Roma Street will grow even further and become a major modal point for our movement of customers and our train operations. We'll see four new stations also on the network. So what we'll see is a spread, more accessibility for customers across the city, and no doubt that will provide additional capacity for all of our customers.
And when that arrives, will you be responsible for them, or will Cross River Rail be responsible for them?
Well, we are the operator in Queensland of all the passenger services.
So they'll hand over to you.
And we would expect to continue to do that, yes.
Okay, that makes sense to me. Okay, Transperth, it's a rail network. It's about a quarter of the size of the City Train network, yet it carries more passengers. Why?
Well, I think it's always good to benchmark, and it's always good to look at other stations across either Australia but also overseas. So we look at Transperth, we look at operations in Europe, we look at operations in Japan, and I think there's something we can learn from all of them. I think it's a very different network, but one thing it does do well, which is something that we continue to work on with the other colleagues and the agencies in Queensland, is really how we look at the system as an integrated system, how we integrate with bus services, how we look at the other modes of transport. So ideally they work seamlessly and as best they can, and that will encourage greater patronage.
Still surprises me that Perth carries more passengers when it's, you know, three quarters smaller than Queensland, than Brisbane.
Well, I think we'll see continued growth. I mean, we're seeing growth in the SEQ network already. As I said, 4% growth last year and 4% the previous year. So I think we're seeing the customers choosing to use the heavy rail service, and I think that'll continue moving forward.
My guest is the boss of Queensland Rail, the chief executive, Nick Easy is his name. One of the other questions about Queensland Rail that my listeners ask is the cost of overtime to cover all the new services while you go through this major transition phase. Are you still paying a large overtime bill just to get these 430 new services back on?
Well, we always have paid overtime. It's an operational business. It's a 24-hour operation. So, you know,
overtime should come to an end, shouldn't it? I mean, it's called overtime for a reason.
Look, I have a view that says we'll always be paying some overtime. So we use overtime for a range of things. It's not only about our services on a day-to-day basis. We use it for training. We use it for special events. So I don't think it's reasonable to expect that at any point in time there'll be no overtime for the business. We do manage it, and we manage it on a planned way to provide the services. We've seen a reduction in the levels of overtime. Some things that are missed in that conversation is that we've increased the services by 11,000 services from the same period that we're comparing it to. We've increased the number of people in the organisation, and we've seen a number of enterprise agreement pay increases since that time. So if you look at it on an hour basis on total hours worked across the business, there's actually been nearly a 9% reduction since 2016. But rightly, as you've said, it's something we need to manage, we need to continue to work to, and make sure it's managed responsibly.
One of my producers was on the Ipswich line this morning in peak hour. A lot of the ABC staff use trains. I mean, we actually love trains, we love the train system.
You sound surprised.
Often people sort of think, you know, that when you do stories that are, you know, critical of something that occurs, that therefore you somehow dislike it. It's not the case. You're just trying to do a story that, you know, you hope the truth comes out of it so that things can be fixed, whatever the story is. One of my producers was on the Ipswich line, came in peak hour, standing room only by the time it got to Oxley Station. When I hop on a completely different line, sort of the Beenleigh Fernie Grove line, nearly empty. There seems to be these massive spikes and then drop-offs to nothing. How do you manage that? How do you get efficiency out of that when you're actually constrained by how people are starting and finishing their work?
Well, it does demonstrate we all have different patterns of behaviour in our travel, and we know that some of those services in the early morning on the Ipswich line are quite busy, particularly I think the 8:17 service is quite a busy one. Interestingly enough, if you look at the services either side of that, you'll find that they're much, much less utilised, and there's some opportunity if people can be a bit more flexible with their travel time. So I think there is some opportunity for customers to adapt some of their behaviours. For us, it's about ensuring we reliably provide the service, we continue to provide that on an ongoing basis, and in time we'd like to think that we can move towards some increase in services.
All right, let me interrupt you, Nick. I've got one of your customers. Denisa, you're from Albion, is that right?
Yes,
and
that's right.
And you catch the train to the Gold or Sunshine Coast, is that right?
No, I'm from Albion to Brisbane.
Okay, how do you find your journey, Denisa? What's it like for you?
It's efficient.
It's efficient,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay, what do you like, and what would you like to improve on the train system? Anything? Nothing comes to mind.
Nothing, but I actually like traveling train.
Yes, because it's air conditioned?
No, it's efficient, easy.
Yeah. And it gets you to your work.
Yeah, it's reliable compared to bus.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. We're going to give you a gift from the ABC. It's a good vote of confidence. Thank you very much, Denisa. Denisa's from Albion. Nick Easy is the head of Queensland Rail. Nick, this morning it came up that, and now, you can't bring a push bike onto a train in peak hour. And a number of my listeners have raised this. Kat Feeney, the presenter before me, had this come up as an issue. People want to use trains, but they need to sort of ride maybe half a kilometre, a kilometre home at the other end of the journey. Most people live within about 500, half a kilometre of a train station somewhere in Brisbane, but they really would like to get their push bikes on the train network, including in peak hour. Is there any way that Queensland Rail can say, make the last carriage, you know, the push bike carriage, or the front carriage, the push bike carriage, or something to try and get more of those people onto your trains, that you want to be more efficient?
Yeah, it's a good question. Obviously, we've had some long-standing practices in place around when you can and can't use bicycles on the trains. I mean, they can be used on weekends, on public holidays, any time of the day. During the peak periods, there are some specific times, both AM and the PM peak, where...
Like now, here at Central Station.
That's right. And that's for the benefit of our customers. So It is about what's the right opportunities. It's a question that's been raised. We keep working with the bike groups. So I think we need to keep exploring that and really seeing whether it's possible given the increased loadings and the increased customers we're seeing on our network. So something we need to continue to think about and explore, Steve.
This morning, Transport Minister Mark Bailey, your boss, told Rebecca Livingston that congestion won't really improve in Brisbane until Crossriver Rail is completed. Between now and then, what are you doing to ensure that you try and meet passenger demand or you try and satisfy passengers? Like Denise, who was glowing.
That was a good example, wasn't it? Look, I think the recent introduction of those 4:30 services is, I think, a pretty good start, because that's about frequency, additional services, options available for our customers. So we want to keep doing that. We want to provide that reliably and make sure that customers, when they come to the station and are heading to their destination, that we've got the train service available. So we need to keep doing that first. We'll continue to listen to customers, and if the opportunities arise, we'll see whether we can provide further services in time.
Will we ever have double-decker trains like Sydney's rail network?
Well, look, they've had them there for some time, yep. The double-decker trains, and obviously the benefit of that is to significantly increase the capacity and the volumes of the customers. There's a lot of infrastructure that would need to be put in place to support that type of initiative. We're certainly not prepared to do that today, and I'm not sure there's a need for it. I think there are other options which are longer trains and perhaps moving to 9-car sets rather than 6-car sets was another option. Double-decker trains create some issues at an operational level in terms of dwell times.
Okay.
If you've ever ridden on one of those trains and you try and get on and off them, that's a challenge in itself. They're certainly not great for accessibility for a number of our customers as well. So I think that provided a real value add for New South Wales and helped them meet their very high demands, but perhaps not for us just yet.
I'm going to mention a number of new real estate developments that are either started or coming. And I'm mentioning these because they're really big population groups. So Caloundra South on the Sunshine Coast, Yarrabilba down south of here, Caboolture West, that's going to be west of Caboolture and Moray Field. All of them going to be really large number of residents. Has anyone said you need to start planning for a rail system into those particular areas? Has anyone mentioned it at all?
I think the growth, if you in the urban area and the developments we're seeing, I think always leads to questions about what's next. We as the operator work with Translink and TMR in terms of the planning of the system.
So if they don't tell you, it's not on the planning stage.
Well, we're their customer in a way, in terms of they set the strategy, we operate the system. So we're certainly part of the conversations. We work very closely with them because that's the only way we can get the best outcomes. But the planning and those opportunities really rest with the government agencies.
My guest is the boss of Queensland Rail, Nick Easy. He's the chief executive. This is ABC Radio Brisbane. It's 4:22. A couple more questions, Nick, and then I'll let you get back to your day job. Rail Back on Track, which is the rail lobby group. Another group who loves you but want to see things done differently. I'll be speaking with them later on. They want to see the doubling in the number of people using your trains by 2029. Could your network handle that if there was double the number of people on your trains by 2029, 10 years from now?
I don't believe it could in its current configuration, so we'd certainly need to see some more investment to drive that capacity. Certainly, Robert Dow and his group have set an aspirational target, and I think it's 400 million across the whole public transport system when you look across the different modes. And as you said, 100 million in 10 years, and a bigger number, 150 million in 20 years. So that would require some parallel investment to support that outcome.
What are your next big projects or benchmarks or hurdles for Queensland Rail?
For us, it's about really Cross River Rail, European Train Control System. They're really the game changers, I think, for the system that we're operating within. They will drive more capacity.
Just explain the European Train Rail System you're bringing in.
So the European Train Control System is a signalling system which will allow us to drive trains closer together. So there are gaps and headways that we call them between each operating train. With a new signalling system, we can operate those closer together, which will give us increased capacity. The other thing is a strong safety benefit in how we operate our system. So that will give capacity, it will support more services within Queensland, and will certainly help with the growth and the some of the aspirations that have been set.
How often do you liaise with the Cross River Rail team?
Very, very regularly. So we would be in touch with them as an organisation every day. We've actually got people that are embedded within the organisation and working closely with them. So it's a pretty close relationship. It's very important that we maintain that. We've got a long way to go to deliver that project, so that'll keep happening moving forward.
Nick, thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you again, Steve. Appreciate it.
Chief Executive of Queensland Rail, Nick Easy, gets 24 and a half past four at 8:00.